This podcast is presented to you by Pastor Bill Shear and Guts Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma. For more information, please visit gutschurch.com.
What I'm going to talk to you today is just about your dreams, what you're dreaming. And I'm not talking about being an astronaut or being the president or playing in the NFL or hitting home runs. I'm talking about the dream that God's put you on this earth to live. See, that's what your dream really should be. And it shouldn't be the kind of dream that anybody on the planet could give you. It's got to be the kind of dream that when you profess it to people, it scares the fire out of them. It's so concerning. It's like, well, wait a second. We're going to draw that back a little bit. Man, I think about my children. I think about raising Brooklyn. I'll tell you, Brooklyn from a little girl would set standards in her life that I would think, oh my gosh, it kind of concerns me. Who could ever live, man, and hit those standards or hit those marks in their life? And you know what? She's 25 years old and still lives her life like that. And she's not a person that doesn't hit the mark or the standards that she sets in her life. So you look at this and I think about it, I think, you know, that's the precursor, that's the steps toward living your dream are the standards that you, man, the dream that's in your life tells a lot about you. But listen, your pursuit of that dream, I believe, tells more about you. The way you do anything is the way you do everything, because that's the God that we serve. Man, he's a good God. He does good things. He withholds no good things from those who just simply put him first. But see, I look at our church and I look at our lives and I just think, you know what, man, what's your heart, Pastor? What do you see in front of us? Man, just to live your dream. Man, and what I want to do is I want to live my life just giving ministry away. Man, the genius of the Guts Girls Brunch, it's a two-hour event that literally thousands of man hours go into. And you know what? Those man hours equate, man, listen, to giving ministry away. Man, there was such a unity and it all just came together in 1 week. And then, you know what? Man, last night came back to a sanctuary. See, we look at it, it's like, what is that? You know what it does? It creates some unity and some so there's a little bit of adversity and some fun into it. And that's what brings unity into our lives. Just so simple, those two things. Adversity and fun unify us. See, the church is built for adversity, but also the church is built for fun because both of those unify people. And see, that's the key for us. See, it's interesting because if you're living your dream and you're professing your dream, you got to be careful who you communicate it to. Man, you just go out and talk to yahoos about it and that don't know God, that don't understand the fullness of joy, that don't understand the advantage that God's given us because of the finished work of Christ that's on the inside of us. You know what's funny is that people say, well, oh, man, and again, we'll go to situations like Robin Williams. Had anything, any fame, any money, there was nothing he wanted for. There was not a chance that he wouldn't get a dentist appointment if he called. He called in and said, man, I need to make an appointment. I need some tooth work done. And they'd say, well, we're about 6 weeks to 2 months out. What's your name? Robin Williams. We'll get you in today. And he ended his life with a belt around his neck. But listen, he'd experienced some splatterings of joy. You could even say that he even lived a dream, but it was empty at the end of things. See, and that's what we have to realize. We have to realize the world is trying to dictate what authors, what writes our trust, and what finishes our trust. When the Bible clearly says, looking unto Jesus, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus, not looking unto your circumstances. Not looking at your situation, not looking at the diagnosis the doctors will give you, not looking at the bottom line of your bank statement, not looking at all the debt. You know what I believe in God for? What if it's a dream of people in here just to eliminate the debt in their life? You know what? I call it eliminated in Jesus' name. You know why? Jesus said it real simple, and Mark wrote it. He said, have the faith of God. Have the God kind of faith. That if you see an authority that hovers over you, something like debt, it becomes an authority that hovers over your life. Wants to mandate how you feel. Wants to mandate how you live. And you say to that mountain, that authority, be removed and be cast into the sea. And don't receive any doubt in your heart. You'll have whatever you say. And then he said something pivotal to you living your dream. in the 24th verse. Therefore, I say unto you, whatever, that sixth word of the 11th chapter of the 24th verse of Mark is so pivotal. Whatever you ask when you pray, believe that you receive it and you'll have it. Oh my gosh. Man, if that word right there becomes life to you, becomes real to you, oh my gosh, your dream just swelled to something that's bigger than this room to be able to hold. I'll be honest with you, this dream is bigger than this room for me. It's bigger than this community for me. Man, all I do is I just see people. If you'd say, hey, Shear, man, the lottery is whatever it is. It's $100 million. You get your choice. You can either win the lottery or you can reach men no one else is reaching. That's not even, there's no choice. I don't even have another option. I don't want to win the lottery. I don't need to win the lottery. I'm just telling you right here now, I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away and all things have become new, and all things becoming new means my life is one big, fat, God-sized opportunity. It's just a dream that I could turn around and live. And see, that's what God's promised you. Man, the whole time I'm telling you that putting a message together is easy after all these years. I do it however many times a week. But you know what? Let me tell you, what I cry out to God for is a fresh word, just something that's gonna hit your eardrum and enter into your head that's gonna change everything. One word from God today changes your life forever. Man, that's what I know, it happened to me. And you know what that word was for me? I was a new creation in Christ. Yeah, that day that I drugged my old nasty dead carcass up to that altar and confessed Jesus for the first time, yeah, I was a new creation in Christ that day. But guess what? Right here and right now today, I stand before you a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are new. And the new thing that God wants to do in my life is opportunity. And I'm dreaming about it. See, man, that's the life of God in Christ. The thief comes, but to kill, steal, and destroy. So now, you know what you've been doing? You've been grinding your way through, fighting your way through just to keep the deflated dream that you've been dragging through your life and your Christian walk. And all God wants to do is he wants to fill that with promise. And then guess what? It's indefatigable. It can't be deflated. Now it's the promise of God. It's a promise that hadn't just been made. It's a promise that's been kept. Life forevermore. Do you understand the promise of God is that everything you put your hand to prospers? And no weapon formed against you ever will. See, there's so many people, they'll look at it, it's like he had fame, he had fortune, he ended up taking his own life. He suffered from depression. And man, it's just, life's just not fair. You're right, it's not fair. We win. Everything we put our hand to prospers. Our daddy now is the creator of the heavens and earth. The creator of the universe is my dad. Oh my gosh. But you know what I've got to do? I've got to take that door. That door is Jesus. Jesus said, I'm the door for the sheep. Notice he didn't say, I'm the door for the goats. I'm the door for the wolves. No, I'm the door for the sheep. Through me, by me, they go in and they go out and they find pasture. And you know what he promises? Listen, you ready for this? Nothing will by any means harm you. No weapon formed against you can prosper. Nothing can harm you. Yet, you know something? Anxiety and depression and fear consume our lives. You know why? We let all the news, all the opinions, all the experts dictate and author our trust. The Bible says some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we remember the name of the Lord our God. Man, you get a diagnosis, you remember the name of the Lord your God. You know what that name is? Jesus. You call upon the name of Jesus, you know what happens? The door opens. How did Jesus say to do it? Because there's a lot of people in here, you'll say, yeah, I had a dream and I asked God and nothing happened. Yeah, you know what? when Jesus said, ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking, they weren't standalone items. They come as a trifecta. I'm telling you, that's the trifecta that gets you into the promised land. You know what you do? Man, you ask, you seek, and you knock, and you keep asking, and you keep seeking, and you keep knocking. What does the Bible say? You ask, he's gonna hear you. You seek, you're gonna find. You knock, you ready for this one? The door will be open to you. What's the door? Jesus. What does Jesus represent there? God's promise. His promise is opened up to you in your life now. Now you're living a life of promise. You're not living that sketchy life anymore. You're not living that life that you gotta sneak around to satisfy your flesh anymore. You're living the life of promise now. You're living a life of deliverance. Man, the enemy tries to come in and put his claws back in you. Man, the things that used to that you used to have to deal with, you're like, no. I'm a new creation in Christ. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Now, you know what follows me? Not addiction, not depression, not anxiety, not debt, not hatred, not unforgiveness, not bitterness. You know what follows me now? Goodness and mercy. I'm going to dwell in his house for the rest of my life, every single day of my life. One day here is better than 1,000 elsewhere. I'm staying here. See, that's the idea that we have to have. But you know what there is here? There is a buy-in. God wants to change the world with you. God doesn't want you just to get the next promotion on the ladder in the corporate office for you. That's not your dream. Your dream's not to buy the new model of truck. That's not your dream. And seek first the kingdom of God, his way of doing things, and his righteousness, and all those things will be added unto you. Man, that ladder becomes an escalator. And the dream that's in your life now begins to not only change your heart and your family and your office, but your industry. See, that's what I bought into. I'll just tell you, the dream in my life is to change the world. And you'll say, well, dear God, how are we going to do that? We're going to change the church. Pastor Sandy and I, leaders here, people have been here a long time, have spent over 20 years with that one sole objective to change the world. You know what? Let's change the church. Man, well, who are you competing with? You compete with other churches? No, I'm just getting in the left lane, man. I just want to throw that throttle back, and I want to live for God, and I want to dream big, and I don't need people quenching my dream. I need to be around people that feed that dream, that inflate that dream. You know why? That's what God does. That's what God's promise is. It just gives us back that dream. Man, good and not evil, to give you a future that is laced with hope. All there is hope. And you know what that hope does? The kind of hope I'm talking about is a hope that never disappoints. Man's gonna disappoint you. God never will. You know why? He's given you a future that is so full of hope that it'll never disappoint. But you know what you've gotta do? You got to keep everything in the periphery. Everything has to become shadows in the light of him. And you know what God will do? Remarkable things. What does the Bible say about the apostles? Extraordinary things were done at the hands of the apostles. See, that's the key. God's using us. What does God want to do? That's what I'm dreaming about. What does God want to do with your life? What does God want to do with my life? Man, you say, well, you're just trying to inspire me. You're doggone right I am. Well, this is motivating. What do I do next? I'll tell you what you do next. You sign up for the second mile and you get discipled. You get trained. You get trained in ministry. You get trained in leadership. You get trained in life. It'll elevate your life. I promise you, the 9 months of that second mile will give you a 1 or 2 point bump in life. What are you gonna do in the next 9 months that's gonna give you that? And then you'll say, okay, what else do I do? Go to dinner tonight downtown. Connect with somebody. You know why? The Bible says that we're all members. We all have specific functions. We all have different things. My knee is not telling my thumb how the joint should work. My thumb operates differently, has a whole different idea about things than my knee does. But guess what? They both work to the same objective to change the world. But see, what we've got to understand now is we've got to look at this, and we're all different members. My knee's not criticizing my thumb. No, my knee is counting on my thumb to do its job. But let me tell you, we're all members. We all have different little functions, but the same Lord and the same Spirit. And the Bible says this. Now listen, where every joint supplies. You know what? You know where you're sitting right now? You're sitting in Guts Church. You know what Guts Church is? It's the most connective place on the planet. This is the easiest place for you to connect. Easiest. And it works by the same principle as us connecting with God. You could sit on your Barco lounger and pick at the hole in the vinyl at the stuffing, and you could complain about God, where's God? Why has God left me here? Or you could go to God's promise. And his promise says that if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. And that's how connecting here works. Man, we're not just trying to give you something else to do. That's not what this is. This is not a fraternity. This is not a social club. This is about connection. Who are you connected with? Who's in your life that's going to help you, that's going to be protective, that's going to be inspire you and motivate you toward your dream? See, what's cool about this? We have no idea what's in you. And you know what? You can live your life never knowing. Or you can get with the right people. And one word from God, one man, one woman, come up to him and say, you know what? There's something incredible in you. And he'll go, oh my gosh. You think? What are you talking about? The last investment I made just cratered. That's gone now, remember? What follows you now? Goodness and mercy. Not your bad decisions, not your bad investments, not the things in your life. Remember the stuff you stepped in and had to throw the shoes away? See, that's what most of life is. That's what people are looking for in church. They're not looking for somebody to come in and clean and shine their shoes. They're looking for a new pair of shoes because they stepped in something so horrendous that they just have to throw them away. But you know what? God has put you on this earth for now. There's men in this room that are on this earth because of what's the needs that are in Haiti, the needs that are in Iraq and Syria and Lebanon. There's men in this room. Man, God's put them as a gift to those areas, and you're thinking, oh my gosh, what can we do? It's not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. Remember David? People want to talk about David and Goliath. Oh, it's such a David and Goliath. There's a little shepherd boy against a giant. It wasn't fair. You're doggone right. You know why? David's mentality, you come to me with a sword and a spear, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Man, the name of the Lord of hosts, whatever it is that you're facing, you know what happens? That enemy just shrinks like this. And you know what? You begin to think about the name of the Lord of hosts in his life, that it gets bigger and it gets magnified and it gets louder in your life. Guess what? Your enemies will scatter. Let me tell you, the enemies to your soul are cowards. They are bullies. And you know what? God isn't going to have it. God wants to do something great in your life, son. Do you understand that? But you know what? The world will talk you out of it. The world will get you sneaking around to heaven, trying to find little things that you're hoping nobody's going to find out about. No, you know what? You just say, God, I just want to live my life for you. God, I want to live a holy life. See, you know what's awesome? No matter what your hands were in up to now, how many guys during the music lifted your hands and you were singing, "We the Redeemed"? Hear me sing. How many of you guys lifted your hands? The Bible says lifting holy hands. Your hands became holy today. And you look at them and you think, oh my gosh, no, you know what? It punched somebody last week. Or it took a cookie out of the cookie jar. Or it ran to mischief. No. You know what? Once you do this with your hands, they become holy hands. That's how great God is in your life. Man, if your hands are holy, you can begin to dream. You can begin to live your life now, unfettered, uncompromised, without any limits. Why would I, look, with everything in front of me, why would I compromise? Why would I compromise anything about my future with what God has already kept, the promise God's kept in my life? Josh, what would I negotiate? What kind of better deal am I going to get out there? I'm not. You know what I just have to do? I got to not let my feelings get hurt. I've got to not suffer offense. I've got to look past people's inadequacies. I've got to look past people's failures. And I've got to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of my faith. And you know what? I got to draw near to God. What does he do then? He draws near to me. And then you know what I've got to do? I've got to take advantage, because this boy right here may need the connection I could give him in his life. Let me tell you what Robin Williams needed. And you know what? Maybe, just maybe, one of his kids or his families will see this on the internet or hear it. One thing that he needed was just connected with somebody that knew Jesus really well. That is it. That's how simple this is.
Thanks for listening to the Guts Church Podcast. For more information on service times, please visit gutschurch.com.